same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
Oh, that's right. Witchcraft, black magic, spells and potions. 10 minutes after nine, John Landecker at 720 WGN. Saw a very interesting article and had to talk to the people who are the subject of it. And Blake Malloway is co-owner of Malloway Brothers at 1626 West Morse Avenue in Chicago. Good evening, Blake.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm good. And I want you to know I'm not coming into this with any kind of ha-ha-ha stuff.
No, that's totally fine.
Now, you and your brother opened a... Well, what kind of store do you have? I'll let you describe it.
Well, good question. So it's a little bit of everything. Books, knickknacks, charms, candles. I mean, everything that you can imagine to add a little bit of magic to your life. That's kind of what our shop focuses on, just bringing that bit of witchcraft into everyone's life. So that's kind of what we specialize on. You know, we travel to all parts of the world, learning as much as we can about the craft, and we take whatever lessons we can find and just bring those back into our shop. And that's just, that's what our passion is. It's just so freeing.
I saw that, according to one report, that who would have thought that during the COVID pandemic that black magic, or whatever you want to call it, witchcraft, has become a vocation, if you will, or a hobby for people. Well, I don't even know if you call it a hobby, an interest, if you will, of folks who have, you know, a lot of time not doing a lot of things, and somehow came across witchcraft and your location. How has that manifested itself with people who get in touch with you? What do they want? What are they asking for? What are they learning?
Yeah, well, so first, with the whole black magic thing, we just call it magic. You know, it's kind of like electricity. It can power a house or it can shock somebody to death, right? So it's all depending on how you use it. But yeah, since the pandemic started, we've seen a good number of people that have found their way in just looking for, I mean, I don't want to say just something to do, something to pass the time, but you know, when we can't be with our friends or be with our families anymore, like, we're just kind of forced to go internal. And the more we look internal, the more we start turning these knobs on that, you know, we didn't really pay that much attention to before, which is how people find their way into witchcraft or the occult or the spirit world or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had this article here, which I'm just going to read a little bit from because there's no better way of putting it. You and your brother have been practicing witchery since childhood, from collecting rainwater during storms, concocting magical potions with plants and flowers, secretly plucked from the unsuspecting gardens of the neighbors, catching moonlight in handmade magical contraptions, making nests in trees so the fairies had a place to sleep, or hiding a familiar pet toad from the prying eyes of your parents. Now, that's not, well, that's, I have a brother. We didn't do that. how did this happen?
Yeah, so that's too funny. So it's very instinctual. Like, a lot of people call witchcraft the wisecraft, right? That's what the word derives from. And that wisdom is coming from your intuition. So it's all about your instincts, right? And as a kid, you're not really giving much thought to where these instincts are coming from. You're kind of just acting on them. So, you know, my brother, for example, felt compelled to build little nests in the trees so that the tree spirits or fairies had a place to rest. And me, like, I always used to talk to this darn toad every time it would hop up to my doorstep, and I would I would tell it about my day. I would greet it when I came home from school. And then you study, like, the folklore of witchcraft later on, and you learn that this is the whole idea of a witch's familiar. Like, this is the whole mythology of the witch's familiar that so many people strive to recreate today. So it's just something that's always been a part of our lives. You know, like, we can't really pinpoint, like, a defining, this is where it started. It's just something that's always been with us.
How did your brother know or feel that the fairies had to have some nests in the trees?
I don't like using the word imaginary friend.
I didn't say that.
I know I'm about to. Children talk of their imaginary sure. friend, right? Like, who's not to say that that imaginary friend isn't real? But it's kind of like you just feel compelled to take care of this creature, or the spirit, or the fairy, right. whatever you want right. to call it. And just because other people can't see it doesn't mean it's not real for you. So he just kind of felt compelled to step in and take care of it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I looked at it.
Well, I understand, you know, children make believe. Children have great imaginations. But you two took it to a whole different level as you got older. And
yep.
we'll get into more of that when we come back on 720 WGN.
It's witchcraft.
Oh, boy. You know, Blake, a lot of these old songs about witchcraft.
I love that song. It's one of my favorites. I'm not even going to lie.
Blake Malloway is co-owner of Malloway Brothers Shop that specializes yeah. in the bewitching world. So I'll just use that word, maybe.
That's correct. Yep.
The bewitching world. Now, let me just read from what it... I mean, this is, to me, amazing to the extent that you and your brother have immersed yourself into this world. It says here, spent a lot of their time studying the old ways and the witches and wise ones of West Country England. They've walked the streets of Glastonbury, studying the magic of baneful plants and poisons, and hiked through Zenor with local wise women to rock the mystical Logan Stone. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
So, what is this?
Oh, my gosh.
What is this?
Cornwall, England. That is my my brother. I mean, that is our favorite place on earth. Before COVID, we would venture out there upwards of five times a year to just meet with the witches out there and learn from them. And you know, one of the things we were really proud of was in a particular village called Boscastle. There's the annual dark gathering around Halloween, and we were very fortunate to have been the guest of honor last year. Yeah, we spent a good chunk of our time out in that part of the world just learning as much as we can. So the Logan Stone in Zenor, there are these giant boulders at the top of the hill in Zenor, and you climb on top of them, and just standing on top of them, you can rock them back and forth. These giant boulders that are maybe, I don't know, 10 times bigger than I am. And when you rock them, you can just feel the earth pulse from 10 feet away. It's the most surreal feeling ever. And nothing more than just your 2 feet rocking the stones.
But the stones never tip over?
They never tip over.
And how tall are they?
Well, they're not so much tall as they are wide.
Okay.
I mean, you just have to like look it up, Logan Stones, just to get like the visual of it. It's just fascinating.
What did you learn from the witches there?
Yeah, so Cassandra and Letitia, those are our two favorite Cornish witches out there. We visit with them a couple times a year. They teach us, they take us through various workshops of our own, whether it's communicating with the spirits of the land, you know, creating a traditional protection charm or whatever the case might be, and just teaching us ways to really communicate and listen to the landscape a little bit more. You know, we don't have a Logan Stone here in Chicago, but we still have a landscape. And if we learn to sit down, shut up, and be quiet long enough, we can listen to it out here just like we would out there. And, you know, those are the things that we like to pick up when we're traveling out overseas.
Spells, charms, potions, magic, witchcraft, Can you give me just one specific spell you could teach me or practice? Give me a spell.
Gosh.
Come on, man.
Put me on the spot with that, right?
Give me a spell.
All right, let's see here. You're gonna put me on the spot with this here. What kind of spell are you looking for?
I have no idea. What kinds of things do people look for in their spells, just generally speaking?
Well, we have people that come in and ask for healing, they ask for love, they ask for banishing, they ask for protection.
I got one. I have a dog. Can you do a spell on a dog?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. I've got a dog that is dying from cancer.
Oh, goodness.
And what kind of spell could be cast to help him alleviate his suffering? I don't mean cure him, because if you could cure cancer with a spell, we'd be doing that already. But
yep.
You know what I'm saying? What kind of spell would work to...
I do. And I think, you know, death is one of the great mysteries that even magic can't fix, right?
Right.
So I think we actually get requests like this all the time, believe it or not. And it's always sad. It's always super sad to hear people in the pain they're going through. And we try to help as best we can. And usually what they're asking for is either sending love or sending energy or just sending peace, so that the transition is smooth, or at least calling peace and comfort to themselves.
That's a spell? I mean...
Well, it's an intention. Yeah.
It's an intention.
So you have to first define what the goal is, and then when you have the goal, then you can create the spell around it.
And...
Does that make
sense? Yes. I mean, you just can't willy-nilly whip out a spell without something to use it on. I'm just wondering...
Yep.
What form... Is this spell something that you say after you have arrived at your reason for this? Like, if you help me figure out a spell for my dog, what do I do? I go there and go to the dog and I say this to him, or do I put my hands on him, or what do I do?
Yep. So, absolutely, if you can lay your hands on him, even the better. So, what I would recommend when you get home, when you see your dog, you're petting the dog, you're talking to the dog, and just a little chant, something very simple. It doesn't have to be super complicated. Something like, by east, by south, by west, by north, I guide you on your journey forth.
Wait a minute.
And you just say that.
Wait a minute. Let me write this down.
Go ahead.
What is it? By what?
By east, by south.
Wait a minute.
By west, by north, by east, by south, by west.
Because I'm going to do this. By west, by north.
Yep.
Okay. Then
I guide you.
I guide you.
On your journey forth.
On your journey force or forth?
Forth.
Force.
F-O-R-T. Like forth. Like I'm going forth.
Forth. Right. On your journey forth. You got it. Cool. Okay.
And that's very reflective of the simple operative nature of magic. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. The emotional want for it is really all that matters, right? The need is what's the most important part.
What is the significance of the east by south, west by north?
Yeah, so in the magical world, the four compass points, east, south, west, and north, are the four roads from which, you know, magic and power can come from for us. So whenever we're calling magic in or sending out spells, we always employ the four directions to send them on their way.
I see. Got it. I'm going to do it. I mean, come on. Why not?
Right, exactly.
It's it's interesting. We could talk a long time about this. Charms.
It's hard to shut me up on it.
Charms and potions. Give me like a charm. Are we like a charm bracelet? Is this what we're talking about? Like something that you would, you know, a piece of jewelry?
Yeah. Not quite. So no. What people typically, what we talk about when we're referring to charms are the creation of usually little bags that we empower certain ingredients with. So somebody might come in. So somebody will come into the shop and say, all right, I've got a job interview and I want a success charm. And, you know, we'll have them choose a couple of herbs that correspond to success. We'll have them choose a crystal that matches their intention. You know, we'll charge it with the four elements of earth, air, fire, and water for them right there in the shop. And then, you know, we'll give them some instructions for further activation on their own so that by the time they're ready to go into their interview, which hopefully is virtual, right? They can use the charm effectively. And it's so amazing to hear all of the success stories. You know, people come and just tell us how much they're loving everything and how it just worked for them. And we just love hearing those kinds of stories.
Well, that is all very, very interesting. Thank you for being with us, Blake. And all the best to you and your brother. And the store is at 1626 West Morse Avenue in Chicago. And the phone number is 312-298-9483. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You too.